We're in chapter 5 of Ephesians, and we're going to go a little bit fast through these 16 verses. Usually I'd break them up into about 3 or 4 weeks, but we've heard some things about how, what to do, and this is kind of a configuration of all that, a capstone, if you will, on instructions to us. But now more than ever, we need to be attentive to what God wants us to do. Now more than ever, each one of us are called to active duty. Now more than ever, we can't allow ourselves to let someone with a title take our place. Just because they're a pastor, an evangelist, prophets are a dime a dozen, everybody's a prophet now, so you've got all kinds of prophets out there. Nothing they prophesy ever comes to pass, but they've got the titles of prophet. But we need to hear God and speak in our sphere of influence because the days are drawing to a close. You didn't hear me. Days are drawing to a close. Whether it be that we get called to glory or whether our freedoms are taken away, which is closer than we think, there's a war against the church in case you hadn't found out. When our president has to stand and make a declaration that churches are essential, we've got some problems. There are states right now that are still closing churches. Churches are the last ones that are going to be open. And so it's incumbent upon us to really pay attention to us. Pay attention to what we're doing. Pay attention to what our relationship is with God. Because God is asking us to be actively involved in this last great harvest. We talked about a lot this morning, befriending, serving, laying down our lives. God spoke to us during worship and with the prophetic words that came out. Here in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, let's turn there, 5:20 or 5 chapter 1. I had the wrong notes on my iPad, so I said, I can't go there. I just did that last week. Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Father, I ask this morning that in a few minutes I have, that Lord, you would use words that are spoken, you would use your Spirit to dig deep into our heart, that we would drill down to the essential part of our relationship with you, and that's to reflect your glory. Lord, to be those that would rightfully divide your word and walk as you've called us to walk. God, we're constantly fighting the flesh. We're constantly fighting the temptation to do our own thing. Father, help us to remember our life is not ours, but it belongs to you. God, use this morning to call us to active duty. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 5 is a reminder to every believer what we leave behind and what we embrace. We are no longer to walk or talk or act like this world. One of the false premises of the world is that the more we become like somebody, the more that we can be effective with them. Parenting skills, the last generation or two has said, be a good friend, be a buddy with your children, and you'll raise good children. How many know you can't be buddies with your children? God never called you to be a buddy or a friend to your child. You're a father and a mother, and you raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Come on, somebody. This book is a guide for life and how we are to live, and it talks about these three things that I'm going to cover. Number one, it says to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. We talked about that this morning, laying down our lives, those who laid down their lives for freedom. But the comparison is to walk in love as Christ also loved us. Now, loving is sometimes a very difficult thing to do, if we're honest. Loving is a difficult thing to do, especially loving those who are the unlovable. Loving those that really rub us the wrong way. I wonder if we were to ask Jesus this morning, Jesus, how many times did I rub you the wrong way? Jesus, how many times could you have got exasperated with me and just wiped me off the earth? His answer would be none. Because I love you and gave my life for you, even knowing that you were pure idiocy with ears. You're dumber than a box of rocks. You don't know your left hand from your right, but I love you and died for you and made you my child. That's the comparison that the Word of God gives us. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So that begs the question, if we are supposed to walk in love and we walk in anything else, are we close to or are we imitating God? The answer is no. If any other motivation motivates us to a person or against a person, we are turning our back on and becoming traitor of what God wants us to be. It's very difficult in this hour to love. How many are like me? Sometimes you hear some of these politicians on TV and you just want to take something and wrap them upside the head. Yeah. What's the matter with you? Oh, we're love. Christ set the example for us. He is the embodiment of God. He gave himself for us, for our victory and for our obedience. The Bible says it's a sweet-smelling aroma. Now thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Somebody say always. Always. The end is going to be victory and triumph. No matter what we go through, the end is going to be victory. Are you there this morning? And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in most places. Are you listening this morning? See, Christ working in us. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Our fragrance, our relationship with God, our exuberance for life, our love for our brothers creates a fragrance to God and to them, a fragrance of life if they are being drawn by the Holy Ghost, or a fragrance of death if they're an enemy of the cross. Let God sort all that out. Our call is to love, to walk in love. Dan said it well. Remember what a foolish, stupid person you were before you came to Christ. Man, I thought everything was God. I was an idiot. I thought everything was God, you know. I thought we'd all die and become this big mass of energy in the universe, kind of a Zen Buddhist type of thing. I had it all worked out. Of course, it didn't have anything to do with the LSD I was eating every day. His goal for us is triumph. We look at this life, we get so sad about things. Well, look what this person is going through and look what that person did, they died. But each of us will triumph in God because we live eternally. And my Bible says there's not going to be suffering, crying, any of that in glory when we're with our Lord. We'll be in victory. So we can go through anything now because eternity waits. Are you there? We're representing Him in here, in our tents. We are a fragrance to God and to those we run across. And then as a reminder, because Paul has been telling all through Ephesians things to avoid, the things to be avoided: fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual relations with close family members is the meaning of fornication. Sexual sin need not be named among us, nor uncleanness, lustful living, TV, movies, internet. There are more slaves to the internet now than there ever has been. Used to be you had to order Playboy or go to the corner store to get your magazines. Now you could sit solitary with people around you and be looking at pornography on your device. Nobody's aware. But God's aware. God's aware. It's a good time to have accountability with each other, accountability with husband and wife, accountability with children and parents, accountability with grandchildren and grandparents. As one evil tool of the enemy is uncleanness. Come on, someone. Whatever you set your eyes on, the eyes are a window to the soul. Covetousness, desire for more, a lack of satisfaction. I think one thing this COVID thing has done for us is realize we can do without a lot. We could be okay without a lot. Well, we can exist without Hobby Lobby for a month, right? Come on, somebody. For this reason, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, says in Colossians 3:6. The wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. You'll notice it says sons. Daughters, God's wrath is not coming on the lost. God's mercy is on the lost, being drawn by the Holy Spirit. But the sons and daughters of God that know the difference know better. Come on, someone. So we're to walk in love. That means so much. That means so much. The world is looking for answers. I got so excited when I heard the president say we need to pray more, not less. I said, man, I don't care what is motivating him to say that. He's got an official title and he's speaking that to the world. Every news media, every outlet, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, it's all over the place. That statement, criticizing, saying he's nuts, he couldn't. I don't care. The word is getting out of there, out there. We need to pray more, not less. That's love. That's love. Goes on to say that we are to walk as children of light. Now, I want you to think about something. We're not trying out for being a child of light. We are a child of light. Turn to somebody and say, you a child of light. You're not volunteering. You're not saying, well, I'll try to be the light. I'll try real hard to be a light. No, you are a light. You'll notice that if you look above you at the lights up here, I don't see one chair in a light. We're sitting on a chair because a chair is a chair and a light is a light. You are called as lights to the world. Matthew 5:14 said, you are the light of the world. Say that with me. I am. The light of the world.
City
that is set on a hill cannot be hid. See, be children of light, the scripture says. Be children of light, looking to and honoring God for making us His light, for making us His representatives. We're honoring Him for that awesome purpose that He called us to, not something that we're volunteering for, not something that we can jump in and jump out. I'll be a chair today and a light tomorrow. I'll do my own thing today and do God's thing tomorrow. No, everything you do is a light representing Him. Walk as children of light. For you were once in darkness, verse 8 says, but now you are light in the Lord. No matter how hard I try, I can't be anything but a man. I see people around me in my generation that's trying to be women when they're a man. Most ridiculous thing in the world. Come on, somebody. It's quiet in here. Walk as children of light. The most normal thing you can do as a Christian is be a light. Be activated by God and shine your light. You can't be anything else. God, your nature is now divine. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness. For once you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It says in verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What identifies us as a light? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's not in anything else. It's not in our battles. It's not in our Facebook posts. It's not something against somebody we need to stand politically against. Be a light. Be righteous. Speak the truth in love. Over and over and over again, Ephesians tells us. Finding out, verse 10, what is acceptable to the Lord. What does a light do? It finds out what is acceptable to the Lord. When you turn a light on, it doesn't ask permission to shine. Or it doesn't point where it wants to. We're a light in the Lord. We don't ask permission. We're bond slaves of Christ. Our nature is divine. He's given us eternal life. He said, exchanging your life for this eternal life, now you are lights to the world. Walk. Conduct yourself. Be submissive to. Verse 11 says, and have no fellowship. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Now I want you to cross-reference that we are lights, children of light. What exposes sin? Light. Who's the light, you and I? That doesn't make us judge, jury, and executioner. It basically means that we speak the truth and everything that's not the truth is a lie and it exposes the sin. The church used to be a place where sin was exposed. We've compromised so much by trying to be buddies with darkness. We can't be buddies with darkness in the world. We've tried it that way now for 30 or 40 years. How's that working for us? How's it working for us? Our numbers are depleted. Churches are no longer recognizable as holy places. It's going to take a generation to say, I'm going to walk in the light as He is in the light. I have no fellowship with darkness. I'm going to expose the darkness by speaking the truth. This buddy-buddy with the world has not worked. Smoke machines and Starbucks or St. Arbucks, as some people say. Coffee and donuts in the lobby. And devil worship in the sanctuary. We're not trying out to be lights. We're lights. We find what is acceptable to the Lord. How do we do that? Pray. God, am I supposed to be involved with? God's not playing hide-and-go-seek with us. Do you honestly think that if you seek the Lord on something that He's going to play hide-and-go-seek with you? Man, He wants you to be the light that He's called you to. He'll give you a quick answer, yes or no. Come on, somebody. Come on. I don't know where we got this theology that says God is like, you know, you've got to hours and hours and hours and hours and hours seeking God. The only thing that's stopping you from hearing Him is you don't want to hear Him. Did He not say, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail? Did He not say, He who began a good work in you shall complete it? How's He going to do that playing hide-and-go-seek? Pray, receive godly counsel. Read your word. Make the word your best friend. Get in your word. Get in the scriptures. Find out what God is saying. Get godly counsel around you. Don't listen to the things of the world. What's the first thing we do now, especially this younger generation? I have a question. I'll go to Google. Man, go to the word. Find a man or woman of God and ask them, God, what do you think about this? This is what I think. And what's the scripture say? And pray with me. We've got a generation that goes to Google. Young people saying, as long as I don't have sexual intercourse, I can fool around. Christian, young people. Hooking up, they call it, I guess. Come on, somebody. Christian young people have no fellowship with darkness. No fruit. The unfruitful works of darkness. The Holy Spirit will not go there, won't follow you there, won't be there. Shameful acts need to be repented of. And then the Word of God gets functioning like really fussing with us when it says, awake. Awake, you who sleep. You're living in a nation where there's a bunch of persecution, you don't sleep so well. But here in the United States, even when this last two and a half months, we've complained because we can't find toilet paper and denture cream, but we're not in really bad shape. None of us have, we all look pretty good, no worse for the wear. Turn to somebody and say, you don't look any worse for the wear. I mean, you know, God forbid we can't go to the Home Depot. Well, yeah, you can go to Home Depot, that's important. Awake, you who sleep. Two things that sleep does. It's to ignore or to avoid. To ignore or to avoid. We're to awake to the state of where we are today. No surprise to God. He birthed us for this time. No surprise. We're supposed to be here during this time. No accident. God said, you can do this. I'm going to birth you now. So walk in love. Walk as children of light. And number three, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means carefully, diligently. Akrios means carefully. Walk carefully. Conduct yourself carefully and diligently. Knowing the difference between being foolish and being wise. Storing up wisdom for the hour we are in. Temptation will not fall on a full vessel. Stay full with God. No temptation has come upon you but such as common to man. Temptation to give up. The temptation to not say when we should say. The temptation not to live holy lives when we should live holy lives. Redeeming the time. Time is the only thing that you and I have to give. Only thing. The only thing we have to give is time. Really, everything else is money, talent, treasure. All we really have is time. Redeem the time, living each day to the full potential God intended. And we live in evil times, for the days are evil, Paul writes. How many know days are pretty evil when we're living in? We're living in pretty evil times. Redeem it. We've come to a surprise time in our lives in this world. Everything can and will change, we found out. Terry and I were talking about that yesterday. We said, man, can you believe everything switched so quickly? Not only here in this nation, but all over the world. Nobody knew what coronavirus was before its name, now it's a household name. We've even given it PAL nicknames, COVID-ID, COVID-19. Not realizing there was COVID 1 through 18 at one point. Coronavirus 1, 2, 3, up to 18. Now we've got coronavirus 19. And it brought the world to its knees. What manner of men and women should we be in this time? We've allowed ourselves to live in fear, even the church in fear, knowing full well that the Scripture says this, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, a disciplined mind. We're not to be afraid of those things, but yet we're afraid. I won't let fear come on me. I just won't do it. In the coming days and months, we will be faced with difficult things. This is just the beginning of sorrows. My friend, the world is going to become a strange place. If you can imagine. Stranger than it is now. You can imagine that. How many could say the world's a strange place right now? Just beginning. Just beginning. Because it's full of darkness. Woke up the other night, about 3 or 4 in the morning, and as my habit is lately, and didn't want to wake Terry, and so took the steps down from my upstairs to downstairs thinking I knew what I was doing and just about took the speed route down the stairs. The world's a very familiar place, but it's becoming fast unfamiliar. And we're going to need to be the light to the world. Many are going to come out of darkness and into the light. But they won't do it if we're doing something else. It's interesting. I talked about this on Wednesday night and I felt from the Lord to share this morning as well. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4 says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." It's interesting that when the disciples came and asked him, "What will be the sign of your coming?" Now, most people, when that question is asked, they talk about earthquakes and pestilences and shakings. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't start with that. The very first thing from his mouth was, "Take heed that no one deceive you." Man, we have got to hear what God is saying in this hour. We'll be easily deceived. Matter of fact, Jesus says that it would deceive, if possible, the very elect, the educated, the dedicated, could possibly be deceived. It's already started. The cancer of deception is running rampant in the church. I'm encouraging you to stay ahead of the curve. Stay ahead of the thing. Stay close to God. Guard your heart. Make sure that you are hearing correctly. Test everything. Test every spirit. Communicate between those that you trust. Please, I adjure you, I encourage you to call, ask questions. Somebody that you trust, that you've walked with a long time, communicate very openly, because there's so much deception. There are so many conspiracy theories out there, I lost count, about what's going to happen. How many know God loves us enough? He'll tell us. He'll get the word to us. Some yahoo with a tie and a microphone on some nondescript channel that came up with this fancy teaching, and on the bottom it says, you know, "Give your offering to and send your money. We need your money." Can I just tell you that little thing that little remote has an off switch? Turn that puppy off. Because they'll tantalize you, tickle you with their ears. And as long as we keep giving them money, they'll keep saying the same thing. They weren't right before. Saw a guy the other day telling me how the world was going to end, and he told me how the world was going to end in 2015. Same God it was right then. He's trying to tell me the world's going to end now. Well, I'm sorry, but you don't have a track record with me. Click. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, if he'd had a track record, I wouldn't be here and neither would he. It's pretty simple. 2 + 2 = 4. You were dumb then, you're dumber now. Communicate with others that you trust. Remember, if you need to hear it, God will get it to you. Don't trust information from an unknown source, period. Don't trust it just because somebody says, hey, you need to heed this word because I'm a prophet and I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. Well, thank you very much, but come on, somebody. You're not listening to me, are you? Some of you will just go home and somebody says, hey, watch this, and you just watch it, and it goes into your eyes and into your ears. You're looking and you're hearing, and you say, oh, I know what's going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, we begin to doubt our relationship with God. It works on our relationship with the Lord. It has to. Well, none of this has come to pass, and then some people will go back and listen again. It breaks my heart. And we've fallen so far, and we've gotten so lazy that we ask somebody else to go get the word of the Lord and bring it back to us. You want to know the word of the Lord? Get at the feet of Jesus. He's not hiding anything. He's not saying, I'll tell you, but I already told that guy. Go listen to his program and he'll tell you. So I haven't got time. Go listen to the program and the word of the Lord's going to come through the man of God, the woman of God. Listen, I'm not negating prophetic. I'm not negating it. I love it. I embrace it. But prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Don't buy the lie. What did Jesus say? Take heed that ye be not deceived. If that was the first warning from our Lord, how many know deception is running rampant in our society? Running rampant. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is deceive us, get us off, tracked off somewhere else. What are some of the things you see allowed in church that was not true before? What's some of the things you're seeing allowed in church? Hopefully not this church, but that wasn't before. Say it louder. What else? Yeah. What'd you say? Gay pastors. You mean happy pastors. What else? My pet peeve, worship. Man, some of the music that's coming out, it's like, come on, somebody. Where's the fear of God? Oh, touch me, make me feel whole again. Oh, God, can we just walk together? Come on, he's God. What's love mean in your own words? What's true love mean? What? Being last is love. Serving. What else? What's true love? Empathy, laying down your life. Wow. Endurance. Hanging in there. It's not, oh, you love me. Even no matter what I'm doing, you'll always just love me. No, you idiot. Don't do that anymore. I love you. Stop doing that. You're going to pay the price. Come on, somebody. Is victory guaranteed in our lives? Come on, Roy. What did he just say? Victory is not guaranteed. Okay. What's your definition of victory? Victory here or victory there? Our failure here is victory there. Come on, somebody. John Huss, Spanish Inquisition, burned at the stake for his faith. Catholic Church burned him. Catholic Church burned thousands. He sent an invitation, says, this is my wedding day, come. Bowed down at the stake he was going to be burned at and kissed it and thanked God for it. To all that saw that day, seemed like a failure that he died. But how many know he was victorious? Amen. Victorious. Why do we go to the media, even though it affects us negatively? Why do we continue to listen to something we know is going to make us angry? Yes. Why do we do that? Come on, someone. Curious. And it's so available. Why do we do that? I mean, it gives me angina. I mean, do you think that people are adversely affected because they're not content? How do we find contentment? In the past month, have you been discontent? I have. Come on, be honest. Excited. I have to admit, sometimes I'm discontent. You know what I have to do? Hit my knees. Godliness with contentment, Scripture says, is great gain. What's your definition of being a light to the world? What's your definition of being a light to the world? Be a light. Make it in your heart to be a light this week. One of the ways we can redeem time is to pray. I'm asking that you continue, if you would join us, fasting one meal a day. What I said, if you don't eat that meal to begin with, that's really not fasting. You just don't eat any. If you don't eat breakfast and you say, well, I fasted for breakfast, well, that's not right because you don't eat breakfast. Skip a meal. Instead of eating, pray. Take a walk. Sit down somewhere. Go to your car. Pray and ask the Lord to visit us on this coming Pentecost Sunday. The Feast of Pentecost, it's a celebration of harvest, of ingathering of souls. And I really believe it's going to be a dynamic. Many churches aren't even opening until Pentecost Sunday. Many churches' first Sunday gathering will be this Sunday coming, a week from today. So I'm asking you to come prayed up. And if you would do me a favor, don't eat breakfast on that Sunday morning, May 31st. If you'll come, skip breakfast, and we'll eat together. We'll have communion together. We're going to ask God to visit us in a powerful way. Amen. And healings, deliverances, salvations, let's believe for it. Ask somebody to be here. I believe it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous day. I believe that it'll be different than we've ever seen together as a church. Amen? I'm praying in that direction. Would you close in prayer with me now? Father, I thank you for the wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you minister to us in such a powerful way. Thank you for the words that came out of the body this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the divine worship that you had. We worship with the angels this morning, God. And Father, thank you for your word, for us to walk in love, to walk as children of light, and to walk with wisdom in this hour. Continue to lay upon us those things. Father, we determine in our hearts to follow you in your footsteps. We give you all the glory and the praise. Lord, be with the families that lost loved ones from the wars that have been fought. Lord, thank you for us setting aside time to honor those who gave their very lives for the freedom that we walk in. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name.